sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Whew. Hold on a second.
Just took a sip of some happy juice. Shout out to my homegirl. My homegirl. What did I say her nickname was going to be? The homie J, yes. Shout out to my homegirl, the homie Jay, for hooking me up with a bottle of some happy juice. And don't do drugs, kids. Stay off alcohol. All right. And before I start, I want to say I want to send a shout out to Ty Tribet for reassuring me that we going to be all right. Okay. Welcome, bienvenue, to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. Before I continue, I want to explain to you listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on, what is it, November 23rd, Wednesday, November 23rd at 6:47 p.m. God damn it. Yeah, 6:47 p.m. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Sorry, guys. The reason I said goddamn, I used the Lord's name in vain. Well, your Lord, your cracker Lord's name in vain is because I it's kind of funny. Well, what do I give a fuck? You know, I'm not really that kind of a professional. But I forgot to place my Uber order. No, I'm not being. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Oh, okay, it's not that bad. Okay, that I really. Use the Lord's name in vain. All I had to do was click on checkout. Oh, God damn it. Oops, something went wrong. Okay, we're going to have to try that again. Let's see what happens here. Okay, bang, 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 bang. Is the store closed? Is that what's going on? Maybe this because the restaurant's closed. Okay, place your order. See, here's the thing is, hang tight. Hang tight. This is really not part of the show. Hey, all right, it went through. All right, praise the Lord. Pray white Jesus. All right, okay. Order received. Okay. Here's my story. This is a midweek episode. Let me turn this down. Yeah, this is a midweek episode and on a Wednesday, so I'm recording right after work. And usually I'm not really in the best, how do you say that? Best state to record a podcast because here's the thing about me. I'm kind of useless when I'm hungry. I have the joke. Well, actually, it's reality. It's not that if I'm fat, it's not because I enjoy eating. It's because I hate being hungry. Man up, B. Sack the fuck up. Nah, man. Look, all I'm saying is my parents did not immigrate to this great country of ours. Built on stolen land so that I, K, could spend some time so I can have moments feeling hungry. Fuck that, man. First world problems, man. You know what I mean? Fuck that. Starvation is not an alternative. It's not an option. Not in this country. Not while I got a job. Not while I'm slaving for the white man and making ends meet. All right, okay. Let's just jump to, yeah, okay. So order placed. And the point is, the mission is to finish recording this podcast by the time before my order gets in. According to this motherfucker, this should be done by, oh, Vital. Yeah, latest arrival, 8 p.m. Yeah, for those wondering, I'm ordering some Japanese noodles. And I put in a lot of shit that I've never eaten before, so hopefully this is good. Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm in, reason I'm ordering Japanese, because I'm in comfort mood mode. Then again, when I think about it, I'm always in comfort mood mode, so that doesn't really mean anything. With that said, let's go through the rundown sheet. Let's run down, yeah, rundown sheet. Oh, I guess I should probably explain, for those of you who clicked on to this podcast, to this episode, because you were fascinated by my title, It's a Great Day for Genocide, I want to cover that. No, we will not be talking about genocide. It's actually a reference to a rap lyric by the rapper Ice Cube on his album. It doesn't matter what album. It's on the track, When Will They Shoot? And I remember hearing it. And you know what? It's one of the items I will discuss later in the episode. But yes, but if you clicked on because you were hoping that I was going to talk about genocide, no, this ain't it. This ain't that kind of episode. This ain't that kind of podcast. I was about to apologize for disappointing you, but I mean, like, no, fuck that, man. Yo, man, find yourself some white pop. Look, I'm just saying, sorry for misleading you. But yeah, click off. This podcast ain't for you. Holy shit. Right. And shout out to the FBI CSIS agent, CIA agent, who was tasked with, hey, just see what that nigger is talking about. Yeah, man. Shout out to you, because you're forced to listen to this entire podcast. So I'm keeping you in mind when I'm speaking out loud, when I'm speaking on this podcast. All right. My one listener. Here we go. Okay, rundown sheet. Because I'm a professional. Okay, here we go. Topics. Oh, I had this thought today. Yeah, today's strictly random thought. So I had a random thought today. Is I was in the middle of a meeting, Zoom call, no camera on, and I was talking to in the meeting. I was just talking, right? And after the meeting, I remember having the same sense of. The same feeling I have after I record a podcast. And the negative thoughts just went in. Like, I just felt like I have a powerful imagination. And when I'm speaking, because I can't see the audience, my mind is so uncooperative with me, man. It's like, it's my worst ally. Sometimes my mind can be my worst ally. So it just imagines an angry audience who's staring back at me, an angry, impatient, confused, annoyed audience just staring back at me going, what the fuck, man? Look, nigger, why don't you just fucking kill yourself? Why don't you just stop fucking recording? Why don't you just stop speaking? Why don't you just shut up? Name of the podcast. Yeah, and yeah, man, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. So I'm just realizing, like, the common denominator is me. As I am speaking on this podcast, yeah, the negative, I am fighting through these negative thoughts that are telling me to stop recording, but I'm going to fight through. Yeah. Anyways, okay. The other thing, too, is another thought that I had this week that I forgot to list on my agenda. Hold on, maybe I was also thinking about how much energy I put in to not attract the wrong audience member. Okay, that doesn't make sense. It's kind of like, I know what I'm doing is for a specific taste. I'm not going for one thing's for sure. I do this podcast for my own self. It's not really, I'm not really thinking of the audience. I'm having fun. The priority is on this podcast is that I have fun. If I manage to create the audience, if I manage to have an audience, then that's a bonus point. But for now, this shit is all about me. If you've listened to my manifesto episode, which is the first episode of this podcast, I explained like my mission on what I'm trying to do. But yeah, this is reaffirming that I do this for my own entertainment. Now, with that said, I am trying to curate my audience. Like on the Old Testament version of this podcast, on the old version, the previous, again, manifesto episode where I explained the difference between the New Testament and Old Testament of this podcast. But yeah, on the Old Testament version of this podcast, I had no directions. I just wanted to be popular. I wanted everyone to listen. No marketing. I just wanted to, I was going on this build it and they will come. Was that the expression? Yeah. I had no focus. I really had no focus. I was just telling everyone about my podcast, and what's funny is the only people I was getting feedback from are the people who I should have known wouldn't be the target audience, who were not the target audience. Yeah. Okay, who were not the target audience for this podcast. Like, if I had a marketing plan, them niggas would have been outside of that Venn diagram or whatever. Anyway, so with that said, I am trying to avoid criticism. I am trying to avoid negative feedback, but it hit me. That shit's inevitable. You put yourself out into the world, you open yourself up for all kinds of feedback, all kinds of shit. And it's just one of those things you just got to accept. I remember like back in my younger days when I was, you know, young, dumb, full of cum and trying to, I was big on picking up girls. When I say big, I wasn't good at it. It was my desire to pick up women, but I didn't actually do it. I was actually shy and all that because I wasn't the type who went up to women and be like, hey, you know, and drop game, as they say in quotation. I was the kind of guy who had game or spit game at women because my biggest thing is I had a fear of rejection. But told me, yo, man, if you're gonna get in the field, if you're gonna get into dating, it's chalk it up to the game. It's part of the game. You gotta be able to accept rejection. It's kind of like when I used to do comedy. As a comedian, I'm realized you're gonna have to accept that shit is not always going to go well. You will bomb at some point. There is no such thing as a comedian who's on 100%. Chappelle looks like the type he never goes down. But yo, he's got a skit where he talked about where he's bombed before. Yeah, I guess it's just there's always going to be haters. Shout out to all my creators. Shout out to all my creators out there. It's, okay, shout out to creators, and I'm going to shout out to Erykah Badu, what she says, keep in mind that I'm an artist, and I'm sensitive about my shit. Yeah, most of us are sensitive about it, but, it's unfortunately one of those things that you're going to have to accept. Okay, yeah, it's one of those things you just need to accept. Okay, hold on. If I sound a little distant, maybe I'm going to, it's because I'm adjusting my microphone in a way where my core doesn't, I'm in a way where I won't cramp up as I speak to you. Anyway, yeah, it's very complicated. All right, yeah, so where was I? Yeah, man, keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit, but it's just... Oh, right. The thought that I had this week is I remember as I was called into... See, here's the thing. I was called into a meeting with my directors. And I remember my mind wanted to go in automatic criticize mode. Like, just attack the speaker. Like, forgetting that the speaker is a human being just like me. Nervous, getting on the microphone. And no one, you know, public speaking is one of the greatest fear one of the greatest phobias in the world. And I'm forgetting that these people are probably stayed up all night before, you know. And of course, they know that this shit wasn't going to be perfect. Even me, who's been to Toastmaster meetings, who's attended Toastmaster Club, where part of the training, part of the things you learn or you pick up is how to be a better member of the audience, how to be more receptive, how to empathize with the person on the podium. Anyway, yeah, even me in that mode couldn't stop myself for being like, yeah, look at this chick. Look at the way she's dressed. Look at this asshole. Yeah, yeah, of course we're going to speak about a hoe. Look at the way he's speaking, he or she's speaking French. Oh, my God, what did you just, you know, even I was being an asshole. So I'm realizing that, yo, I guess I'm just trying to accept human nature, man. Haters are going to be haters. Haters are going to be haters. With that said, second item on my rundown sheet. Good job, B. Good job, okay? Because I tend to ramble on. And second item on my rundown sheet. And before I continue, damn, hold on. This happy juice is working. I really don't like the idea of turning to alcohol to improve my mood, but shit's working. What the fuck? If it ain't broken, don't fix it. All right, okay. Second item on my rundown sheet. I need to say thank you to this complete stranger on the internet or on TikTok. This white man who I do not know, his name is TweetMap. Their name is TweetMap, Words of Wisdom. And he said this shit. He said something that I really like and I have to play it on this podcast. Here we go.
This is your sign to start creating content, because content is permissionless leverage that compounds to any goal you have. And you don't have to have all the pieces in order yet. You just have to get started so you can let that compounding begin.
And besides, every business is a content business.
And that's because the average adult spends around 8 hours a day consuming media, and the average youngin' like me spends 2.5 hours a day on social media.
And I get it. Nobody wants to be a cog in the social media content machine. But this is a pessimistic view, because you can build a community by sharing the stuff you learn to solidify in your brain while building an authority in your niche.
So the key here is to use content creation to compound whatever your goals are in multiple ways. And don't worry about quality, just start with quantity, and quality will come over time. And remember, once the compounding begins, then comes the audience, so you can build a business around your passion and interests. So, this is your son.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, kind stranger. I've realized a lot of my inspiration, I have relationships with complete strangers on the internet, and the only thing that bonds me to them is their work, their content, their music, their poems, their like, I'm a consumer, and it's an interesting relationship to have. Yeah, I do not know the stranger. I don't know who he is. For all I know, that motherfucker, that white boy burns crosses on the weekends. But I am very grateful for this piece of message because it reached me when I needed to hear it. It was something that I needed to hear. It's complete stranger just validated my feelings, and I'm just having a little moment of gratefulness. And it's not just because of the happy juice. I'm just expressing gratefulness for what this man just shared and what I found. All right. So with that said, a lot of shit I didn't understand what he was saying, because, you know, he used a lot of big words. But my point is, I did enjoy how he said, yo, man, don't worry about quality. Just fucking do it, man. It's like, I think I'm being like dancing like no one's looking at you, man. Just fucking do it. And if it hits, it hits. If it's not, then fuck it, man. Fuck it, man. It's, you know, get rich or die trying. Get popular or die trying. That's you know, I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm just grateful for Mr. TweetMap. Again, links will be in the show notes. All right, third item I have. Well, I'm having so on Twitter, I'm not gonna mention any names, but I'm kind of in this complicated situation where, speaking of content creators who I'm bonded by their content, is two content creators of mine on Twitter are beefing right now. If you know, you know. If you don't, then doesn't matter. All you need to know is this shit feels like mom and dad fighting, or Biggie and Pac beefing with each other, man. And here's the thing. Old me, an older version of me, would be like, oh, fuck. Man, I hope they work it out. Peace. I want them to have peace. Like, old me would have probably try to intervene to break it up or to see to try to be an arbitrator in the two, or call Farrakhan. In the old days, kids, before Kent Farrakhan went all loony on that Scientology shit and whatnot. But back in the days, he was the ultimate settler of beef. If two iconic members of the community were beefing, you'd be like, yo, let's call Farrakhan, because, you know, he'll break it up and or seek the FOI on you. But yeah, anyways, I don't know who's Canada's FOI, but yeah, that's old me. New me acknowledges that conflict is inevitable. It's unfortunate that these two content creators, who I'm huge fans of, are going at each other. Yo, shit, man, those two are going at this beef like men. Like, it's escalating. Like, I don't know how it started. I don't know what caused it. I don't want to invalidate anyone's feelings. I'm sure these two both feel justified in their attacks. It's unfortunate that it's escalating. I'm just hoping I'm just hoping these two resolve this shit amicably. They don't have to be friends, but they do need to be reminded that they're both on the same side of the battlefield. And, it's fucked up seeing these two go at each other and use their internet superpowers. That's what I call it, internet superpowers. One of them uses, they're both like articulate women. Their superpower of articulation of it's basically they're both creating content attacking each other. And they're both using the same weapons they use on the motherfuckers I don't like. Anyways, yeah, I know it's just some unfortunate shit. I'm staying out of it because I'm letting this shit take its course and hoping this shit settles out. Look, I don't know these two enough to step in and be like, hey, guys, you're soldiers in the same struggle here. What the fuck, man? Why y'all fighting in front of these white folks? What the fuck? Anyway, yeah, man, these things happen. The only expression, the only thing I'm going to say is it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate situation. And I want to be an optimist, but I guess I'm too old to be an optimist. So I'm just going to let this shit weigh out and hope this thing works each other out. But until then, fuck, I guess I'm going to have to ignore their tweets because I don't look like I'm taking sides. And I really hope this is not a... I really hope this isn't a... No, no. One person is really at fault situation. I really hope it's... Like Jay-Z and Nas, like headbutts, like we're in the same space and they're button heads, and it turns into, okay, all right, they build from this shit as opposed to destroy. But we'll see. What's fucked up is their fans are jumping in too, are on the, yeah, no, you're right. No, you're right. And anyway, yeah, I'm staying the fuck out of it. Anyways, so that was the article that fucked up my day. As Jay-Z would say. So that was a portion part of the day that that was the event today that kind of fucked up my day. But shout out to Happy Juice. You know, usually this is the first time I drink some Happy Juice on a podcast. Usually I drink water, but damn, I was in a little bad mood, but look at it. The mood's gone. You know, praise the Lord. It's a miracle. You know, I should, hey, if you guys by any chance have like a sound effect I should use for like praise music, send it to me. All right. Okay. Next. All right. Okay. Next item on the rundown sheet. Check the time. Yeah. Half a gangster. Hold on. I'm going to Google this shit. This is what I wrote, half a gangster, and I'll explain what I'm trying to get at. You can't be a half a gangster. See what comes up with Boom. All right. Jimmy Doherty tells Nucky Thompson, you can't be half a gangster. Check this out. I want to play this shit. Let's
see. Nuck. Take you back.
Nucky.
Give you a job.
Nope. Nah, I'm going to skip it. You don't need to.
The war, Nuck. The things I did over there. You live in a trench.
Nope. I'm going to skip that.
Yeah, but you won't.
Okay.
Look, you can't be half a gangster, Nucky. Not anymore. Let me help you.
There we go. All right, okay. Boardwalk Empire Season 1, that's Jimmy Dormady talking to Nucky Thompson, and he gives us a word of advice, and he says, Jimmy Dormady is the younger guy talking to the elder. He said, hey, bro, you can't be half a gangster. In other words, a shook one. You ain't a crook, son. You just a shook one. Yeah. And the reason I'm using this as my title is I've been reflecting after my last therapy session. I've been reflecting on my commitment to this podcast. And no, I was thinking no therapy combined with my last episode, and I'm realizing that. In my manifesto episode, I talk about how this is my attempt to show you my unpolished side. But I'm realizing that I've been showing my unpolished side while polishing it. By that, I mean I haven't been completely real with you. I've been as real as I can, but I... See, this was easier. This podcast was easier when I was at work and didn't have a lot of responsibilities. I was, you know, I was being left alone and to my own thoughts. And this is a long story about my about work, but most of my energy was going into this podcast, and I was living life like I'm living my final days. Then a white man hooked me up with a raise. And I went back to tap dancing. They give me a raise, but they start giving me more responsibility. They like it was like a semi-promotion type of thing like that. And that's how these crackers get you, man. That's how they get you. Start out being revolution, talking about, you know, fuck whitey shit, and next thing you know, hey, how about a promotion? Fuck! Then you're selling out. Glug, glug, glug on the white man's dick. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, anyway, what I'm saying is, when I'm at work, I'm a completely different human being. I'm like performing, and not in a bad way. I am just the guy they need me to be to fulfill the mission. That's all they hired me for. I am not. I'm not delusioning myself with this shit. Look, I got a job. I'm here to do a job. We're not fucking family. We're not friends. So I show the version of myself that allows me and my team to get along and get shit done. The guy you hear on this podcast is not the guy at work. I mean, well, except for the sense of humor. That I keep with me. But so as a result, my fear is, I have this fear of my coworkers listening to this podcast. Granted, it's like, okay, you know what this podcast is? This podcast is a little like my OnlyFans page. But what I'm saying is, all I've been doing is, you know, ripping you off, because imagine going to an OnlyFans page and this chick's got all her clothes on. So what the fuck? I mean that could work. There's some women out there, the way they dress could be an OnlyFans, but that's not my point. You came to see titties, and I'm not showing any titties. That's what I'm saying. Maybe I'm showing titties, but I'm not taking off the my panties. You know, that's a disgusting, I know that's an image you did not want in your mind. Granted, you guys, some of you don't know how I look like. Still, imagine you went to an OnlyFans page expecting to see titties and ass, and all you see is this chick wearing a fucking hijab and shit like that. You know what I mean? Loose clothing. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, I'm just wondering, I'm having a moment whether this shit is possible, whether I'm on track, whether, no, you know what? No, I still know that I'm trying to polish myself to this public, to you as the public, but my polished side is my boring side, is my useless side. My polished side is what everyone is. Look, I think we all wear masks. I think none of us, okay, a short number of us, probably who they are when the lights are on or off is who you see. You know what I mean? Like they're transparent. Maybe some people are like that. But for the most part, we've all learned to, like, wear masks in front of each other. And that's what I'm saying. I'm starting to feel like I'm not being completely honest with you about, and that's not why I started this podcast, but I'm trying to be realistic. I mean, like, I made sure to start, the part of why I start with Fuck Whitey is my way of being unapologetically black, unapologetically. I hate racism. Fuck racism. Let it die a painful death. I used to hide that shit because white people were overly sensitive about racism. Like I had this need to make white people feel comfortable around me. It's an instinct I had. Well, it's a survival tactic. I'm gonna get to that. Making white people feel comfortable. But now this is me saying fuck that. If I die, when I die, motherfuckers will know that, yeah, you know what? I don't think B was a fan of racism. Now, you're probably telling yourself that, oh, what black person doesn't hate racism? Yeah, see, it's not just hating racism. It's not just that. It's more a lot of us, when it comes to our white friends, we have this instinct that, you know, you got to be careful. Yo, it's like being a slave on the plantation, right? You can't express how much, you know, you fucking hate being a slave. That shit will get you killed. So that's how some of us are with racism. It's like, yeah, we hate racism, but we're careful to how much we express our hatred about racism, because then some white people get, oh shit, he's talking about me. You know, some people take it personal. You know what I mean? Racism is so white. It's racism and whiteness go hand in hand. And then, and some white people cannot separate, like, or have a fanatical attachment to their white skin and don't realize it. But we can see it anytime we talk bad about racism, or we talk, you know, we say, like, we're not saying some kumbaya shit, or we, racism must end. No, we say shit like, yo, racism's gotta die. You know, sometimes it makes white people nervous. Anyway. All I'm just saying is, I had a moment where I'm reflecting on, hey, what did I say? I put where I'm reflecting on whether I'm able to do what I need to do on this podcast with one foot in and one foot out. The point of this show was for you to see my unpolished side, and I keep polishing it. Polishing it, yeah. Anyway, yeah. You think I'm willing to admit to you my greatest fears? My greatest, some of my darkest thoughts. No, I'm not there yet. I'm. Anyway, maybe it's a journey, because I have to remember that I've been so used to cuddling people around me that it takes a while to unlearn that shit. But so all I know is I feel like I'm being a half a gangster on this podcast, half a podcaster. Anyways, to be continued. There's gonna be a follow up thought on that one, but right now it's just fresh out of my mind. I'll reflect on that. Let's take a quick break. Excuse me, and we're back. I just need to take a sip of this water, but yeah, hold on a second. Yeah. And we're back. All right, okay. another thought that crossed my that's been lingering on my mind. Hard times don't always make you stronger. The concept of this is a recent the concept of having The concept of having to be, being obligated to be strong. See, I grew up with this notion that tough times make you stronger. Growing up, hard times make you stronger. The difficulties is a challenge. Actually, part of what took me so long, well, okay, you can't tell the difference, but I was supposed to record this podcast earlier on, but I was looking for a gospel song, and I can't remember. It's, there's a rapper in there. I can't remember the title. It's driving me nuts. If I can lie down, close my eyes, and reflect, I'll probably remember, but right now, I can't remember. All I know is Troubles Don't Last Always is said in there, but no, it's not the, no, that's not the title of the song. And I remember there's a rapper in there and he says, and I'm always mad stressed. I forget. Anyway, but that's not, there's a part in the song. It's like, it's, it was saying how tough times are there to make you, the reason for tough times is to make you stronger. I bought into that shit. I did. I bought into that shit, but then it got to a point that where the tough times weren't making me stronger. It was actually making me worse, and it got to a point where I found myself saying, maybe I am not meant to be in this life because these tough times are just, these hard times are just making me want to, it's more than making me want, it's making, like, I'm not feeling stronger. I am not feeling stronger. And, I was thinking about how, like in rap songs, the rappers talk about how going to jail makes you tougher. Or, hard times make you tougher. And maybe some people get in a situation where you have to find that. Like, okay, Saving Private Ryan. Spoiler alert, yeah. Saving Private Ryan, Tom Hanks' character, he's like, he's kind of a badass, he stepped up. He's like a badass commander. Hold on a second. It doesn't matter, okay. Yeah, he's a badass commander, and later you find out that this motherfucker's a school teacher. But they build the idea that circumstances build them up. Like, I wonder whether if I, by the way, I keep my WhatsApp on so you can believe, so just to give you the impression that I have a lot of friends. You know what I mean? Hoes all on me. Anyway, yeah. So, the notion that all of us, if we were all to get dropped in World War II, we would find it in us to become strong. And I'm realizing that shit's a fallacy, man. Maybe some of us are able to step up to the occasion. Like a lot of, when I think black people, a lot of, that's one of the things that I enjoyed about Black Panther 2, the sequel. There's like a shout out. There was a reminder in watching it how our women, when the men died, when the men were taken away, black women ended up stepping up. And being the strong one, taking the role of the man, of being the strong one, being the wisdom, taking sides of leadership. But it reminds me of the idea of the strong black woman, Black women don't like to hear that shit. No, it's like you're expected to be strong. And I'm saying, you know, in the movies, I'm thinking of Walking Dead, which, by the way, I will be watching later as soon as I finish recording. I need to catch up on this shit. We're close to the last episode. Anyway, yeah. So, they show this one character who's great at killing, but he reaches a point where he hates killing. They show he hates it, but they're good at it, but they actually hate it. It's hard for us, the audience, to conceptualize, to wrap our mind around that shit, because we love seeing them kill because they're good at it. But we like to ignore that deep down in their mind, like they like, fuck, I really, really hate doing this shit. Okay, I have this friend, one of my friends, she was explaining to me how she's the type to, you push her against the wall, she'll fight back. Like, she's the one you want to have with you when people are fucking around, like, she'll step in and defend you and be like, you know, hey man, you watch your mouth, you know, like she's the tough guy of the group. And it got to a point that people, she does it so often that people turn to her to be, hey, this guy's ripping us off, or this guy's being disrespectful. Can you go talk to them? And she told me she hates having to do that. She hates being in that position. She'll do it when she needs to, when she's obligated, when there's no absolute options to. But she fucking hates being in a situation where people are like constantly, hey, can you go, can you be the, can you, you know, when you're on, you know, you're in a public place and someone's doing some fuck shit and there's always one person who steps up to say, hey, this is wrong, while everyone else looks by it, whatever. Yeah, those people, some, they don't like being a hero, having to be the hero, you know, it's obligating people to be the hero. So it just goes back to this notion of, and I'm going to touch on this on the last segment of this episode, but of, I'm challenging this notion that hard times are there to make you stronger. And the reality is, no, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just makes you weaker, or it fucks you up, or it doesn't always make you strong. Maybe I think it's a Christian notion that, yo, if you're going for difficult times, it's because God put that shit in your way to strengthen you up. As a guy, I used to be, as a man, I used to, a boy, man, I grew up with dudes who would say stupid shit like, I insult you, I belittle you, I deny you of dignity so you'll be stronger, to make you strong. Like, there's this idea amongst men that they pick on your weakness so that weakness goes away. Sometimes that weakness doesn't go away. Sometimes it just turns the guy to a school shooter. Sometimes it's just a way so they can justify bullying. I used to believe that shit. I'm like, oh no, they're just trying to be kind to me. But yeah, man, I'm challenging this notion that hard times, difficult situations equal making you stronger. And the reality is sometimes it doesn't. Which brings me finally to the last item on my run sheet. It's a great day for genocide. Like I mentioned at the beginning, the reason I picked that title is because, one, I was listening. I was listening to When Will They Shoot by Ice Cube, and I remember that line, and it just hit me. I'm like, it's an amazing verse, an amazing line to have on a song. I'll repeat the verse. It goes, verse 2, it goes, it's a great day for genocide. What's that? That's a day that the niggas died. They killed JFK in 63. So what the fuck you think they'll do to me? But I'm the OG and I bust back. Boom, boom, bust back. Boom, boom, pillar cap. Boom, boom. Give me room and I fire up the sun. Okay, I'll stop. Hear the Mac come. Anyway, yeah, I remember when this track came up, stomping, walking in my big black boots, and my friends and I, we were on that pro black tip, and I think we all wore black boots back then. And when did this track come out? Was this before November 92? Yes, this is when we were expecting this huge race war in 1995, and doesn't matter, but and we used to go to the gym to train for that motherfucker. Anyway, yeah. Good thing it didn't happen, because I kind of skipped out on some of those training. Anyway, that's not the point. Anyway, yeah, I'm just remembering how I felt when this song came. But yeah, I remember playing this song, and that verse just got my attention. And yeah, that's an activity we used to do, my friends and I, is we had a favorite rapper, and they would say shit, and we would repeat, and sometimes they would just see a line like, it's a great day for genocide, and it's like, damn, that's fucked up. Anyway, yeah. So, needless to say, the reason I chose that title is, one, sheer attention. I was just trying to get some attention. I just thought it was a great way to get attention, because the same way that shit got my attention. Two, I'm getting close to finish. How far am I? I'm getting close to finish the book. His name is George Floyd. And let me unplug this shit. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm going to check my phone. How far am I from finishing this book? Excuse me. Oh, 3 hours, 48 minutes left. Yeah. Anyway, I covered the chapter where it's titled chapter 10, Memorial Day. And that, it just goes into that fateful day of May 25th, 2020, when George Floyd died. Was murdered by that cracker ass. That fuck. You know what? Call him a cracker is not enough. It's like that terrible, despicable human being. Fuck. Let me put it this way: if he does manage to, terrible piece of shit. Fuck. Hope he dies slow. Hope he gets hunted in life and in death. Like, he's the reason I wish hell was real. Anyway, yeah. So Derek Chauvin, who killed him. I got to the chapter where it goes over his death, and reading that story, going through that story, just put me back into death certificate Ice Cube mode. The first time I heard death certificate, because back then Ice Cube was like on that pro black shit, and look at the cold, look at the white man in his cold blue eyes. Anyway, yeah, horny little devil, you better catch up. Yeah, I was just all those songs, all those rap songs I used to listen to, those pro black rap songs I used to listen to, I'm looking for a word, commiserate to, I was feeling a lot of anger, and these rap verse were helping me articulate that anger, especially against this racist society that I live in. Anyways, yeah, reading that story just put me back in that mode of, fuck this world, man, fuck these people, man, fuck this, yeah, man, fuck Whitey, just put me in fuck Whitey mode. And especially when in the line of by Ice Cube, he goes, it's a great day for genocide, what's that? So that's the day that the niggas die. And yeah, now, Rap Genius doesn't have like an explanation of what he meant by that, but I'm interpreted to mean, it's a great day for gen, like black people are constantly... It's a mix between death is just around the corner for all of us, and or mixed with fuck it, man. It's like live free or die, you know, or what's the expression, you know, freedom or death. And it just put me in, like, listening to that verse just put me in freedom or death mode, freedom or death thinking. And especially when he says they killed JFK in 63. So what the fuck do you think they'll do to me? Well, what they did to George Floyd. Anyway, yeah, man. Look, man, devil is the white man is fucking evil, man. Anyway, so this is just a reflection of the chapter I just read, and I just felt that using some Ice Cube verse was appropriate for it. With that said, going back to an early thoughts about how I'm so connected to all these human beings I do not know, but the only connection, the bond I have with them is their art. I'm thinking about, look, Ice Cube was on some, lately he's been on some shit that, like, he was a supporter of Donald Trump. Talking about he's trying to get some contract deal, whatever. Anyway, so Ice Cube just went a route that made me like, wow. That made me like, well, look, I don't support this dude for his activism. I support him for his music, for the lyricist that he was, but that's it. That's it, yeah. Anyway, but it makes me wonder whether the Ice Cube who created Death Certificate, whether he actually existed. I'm not sure if Ice Cube believed the words that he said, or whether he created this angry pro-black guy because that was the trend, or whether he was, back then we thought he lived by those words, but I don't know, there's hints that, look, I remember Eazy-E used to diss him for not being from Compton. He used to rap about being from Compton. He wasn't from Compton. And it's like, maybe he's just in it. Maybe he's like Rick Ross. Sometimes I think Ice Cube was just like Rick Ross. It's look, I make music. I make dope-ass verse. And I'm just creating an image that sells. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know the man, O'Shea Jackson, personally. I will say, just like I taught about Tweetmap, I'm still grateful for the work that they did because it was as real as it needed to be when I heard it. I'm just gonna conclude it as that. I don't know if that nigga Ice Cube is for real, but I'm grateful for the art. I'm grateful for the art. I'm gonna leave it at that. With that said, okay, hold on. I think I'm not gonna go over time. I was gonna go into some tweet thoughts I'm gonna stop there, man. One thing I will say is I'm just realizing that I'm one of those people who need to wear a mask because maybe it's alcohol. The more alcohol I drink, the more I speak and spit. In Haitians have a word for it. It's called jal bouquet. I'm speaking and I can hear my microphone is probably taking in a lot of spit, but I can feel the spit on my hand because my hand is on my desk and it's like, puh, puh, yeah, yeah. Anyways, but I blame the happy juice. Delicious. God damn it. You know who else drank wine? Jesus. All right, okay. All right. This concludes today's episode. Until further notice, until that honky Elon Musk fucks up Twitter, you can holler at me on Twitter at @bblizak or at @shutuppodcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Go on the website. This episode should be a featured episode. Oh, right. It depends where you, Mr. FBI, CIA, CSIS agent is listening to it. But just go on the website. Episode 032, It's a Great Day for Genocide. Find that title and you'll see the show notes for the episode. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Hey, please, no fucking spam. Don't sell me on shit. I'm not interested, man. I'm like, I know you got a business to make, but yeah, man, I don't want to hear about how you got some program to, yeah, we can help you. We can help you make your podcast popular. I'm not interested. And stop, yeah, you don't need to send me, pictures of hot girls saying, yeah, man, hot girls are waiting to hear your podcast. I mean, I'm tempted, but nah, stop sending me that shit. Email address, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. To subscribe to the podcast, use the RSS feed on the website or holler at us. I'm talking about the podcast, me and the podcast, on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. And if if you want to hook a brother up, leave a 5-star review. Fucking lie if you have to. All right, yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Hold on, my timing sucks. Okay, yo. I said be kind to your favorite podcast. Yeah. All right, man. Peace.